The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by Matthew. After Jesus had fed the people, he made the disciples get into the boat and precede him to the other side of the lake. Then he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. And during the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you across the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter. And he said to him, "O man of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. This is actually one of my favorite gospels, basically, because it doesn't take any preaching. It's just the text. The sermon is obvious, or at least it should be, if you were listening. One of the points that was never pointed out to me in my early hearings of this was, we're supposed to, of course, be in awe that Jesus walks on the water. But the real further point is that Peter does too, which means we can too. It's not just to say a wow for Jesus. It's to say, what I have done, you also can do. And of course, the whole point is not about physically walking on water, although I'm sure Jesus could do that. But that misses the point. Let's try to get the point. First of all, in most of the Gospels, whenever Jesus sends the disciples to cross the lake, he's about to do something or tell something that is going to get them to cross to a new level of faith, a new level of consciousness. He's really not talking about crossing the lake. He's about crossing boundaries of understanding. And he doesn't go with them. He stays on the other side to pray, almost as if he knows they're going to need prayer to get this new lesson. He's always giving them lessons. For 3 years, he's walking the roads and using the real experiences of life to teach them about what matters. So we have the boat, 4 o'clock in the morning, strong wind comes up, and then they seemingly see this impossible presence. Jesus, where men are not supposed to be, walking on water. And so their first response is not excitement, but fear. We're used to the predictable. When God does anything unpredictable, we don't actually get excited, we get afraid. And Jesus says, "Take courage, don't be afraid." But immediately Peter says what we have, I'm sure, so often said, "Save me, Lord." But tell me, he has the courage to ask something you wouldn't think anybody would ask. "Command me to walk to you across the water, knowing that this life, this energy, this power can be transferred to him. All it takes is the Lord's command. But instead of a command, it's an invitation. He says, come. And just on that one word, that one small invitation, Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he kept walking. But then it says, he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened, and he began to look down and sink, and he said, Lord, save me. As soon as we look at ourselves, what's wrong with me, why I'm not good enough or smart enough or perfect enough, we'll always lose faith. The secret is keeping his eyes on Jesus. See, God has to lead all of us to the edge of our own resources, or we never transfer to the absolute source. We keep thinking we can generate the energy simply by trying harder, by willpower. But the absolute source is, of course, symbolized by Jesus himself. As long as he can keep his trust, his confidence oriented there, he keeps walking. But he doesn't. He sinks. And yet, even then, Jesus does not condemn him or shame him. He just says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You know, the best translation of the word faith is trust. It's not believing a bunch of doctrines. I hope all of you in this room believe the doctrines of the church, but for of itself, that makes no difference in your life. But to really trust the absolute source, that there is a perfect love out there, that there is an infinite life out there, that there is one who is more for you than you know how to be for yourself. That's faith. It would be much better if we translated trust or confidence. And he puts him back into the boat. The wind dies down. And it seems that they come as a group on the boat to this moment of trust and faith. A few weeks ago, I was in Rome, and the first time I got to go down about three or four levels under the great altar of St. Peter, where they say he was buried. And it was always doubted, could it really be that on the Vatican Hill, on the very spot where this little fisherman, this man who walked on the water, was buried? And only in the last century did archaeologists keep going down another layer, another layer, another layer. And believe it or not, you can go down and you can see what is now a little box. Now it's covered with gold, of course. But there, they found some bones directly under the high altar of St. Peter's. And they did all the tests on them. And they're the bones of a first century Palestinian man. They were right. This little guy, this little uneducated fisherman who walked on the water after Jesus, has the biggest tomb in the world. I remember when I was first there many years ago and my history professor was with me. We were standing at the back door of St. Peter's looking at this church the size of three football fields, and he was explaining all the wonderful architecture and art and measurements of the building, and a little not so smartly dressed Italian man came in and stood there right next to us. Then he muttered something in Italian and walked back out of the church, and I didn't understand, so I said, what'd he say? He said, pretty nice tomb for a fisherman. And he walked out. He wasn't impressed by all the Michelangelo and Da Vinci and art and gold and so forth. He knew that the whole thing was built to honor the faith of one little man who knew that he could walk on water just as well as Jesus.